And honored to have Brother Mark Hankins in the house. And I can't tell you, like, just a little conversation that I had with him. I just said, hey, you know, down at, we went to a conference, and then he said, so when am I coming to your church? And I you know how you sometimes ask, I don't know if I should invite or if they'd even come, you know, and we're just so thankful to have you here this morning. So let's give him a hand, warm welcome, Mark and Trina. God bless
you. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. How many thank the Lord for a wonderful pastor? Amen. Passionate, wonderful pastor. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. We are blessed to be here today. I believe God's able to get us in the right place, right time, with the right people. Amen. I mean, no bad stuff happens when you're in the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people. I learned that as a teenager. Right after I got out of jail. So, don't y'all act so holy. But my dad and the deacons had to come get me out of jail. Well, you know, I'm preacher's kid, so preacher's kids have trouble because they hang out with deacon's kids. All right, we're blessed to be here. Enough about me. Let's talk about you. All right, come on up here. We want to give you a bunch of books and CDs and stuff like that, and all the stuff is half price while we're here. So, and if you can't afford to get anything, then just get something free. That's good enough to do. If you get something free, if you don't like it, I'll give you a full refund. All right? So, of course, you can't cover all the different things that we have available, you know, in one day. So here's some new stuff that we have. I think you have the book on divine approval. This is the newest book that we have called Understanding the Gift of Righteousness. It's called Divine Approval. What people will do for, you know, they call it approval addiction. What people will do just for the right person to like them. If you can just get your picture with somebody you think's important, that means if they approve of you, you're cool, right? But what if God gives you his divine approval? And this is on understanding the gift of righteousness. I call it the radical revolutionary revelation of the reality of righteousness. And if that ain't enough R's for you, I'll try to find a few more. Wow, and I love it. And the great thing in the back, it's got the scriptures on righteousness and who you are in Christ in over 100 different translations. We got it from the book, so it's just revolutionary. So if you can't read, then you can get the CDs. Divine Approval. So I'm going to give this to somebody. Whoever wants that, raise your hand. You get a free book, and then somebody get a free set of CDs. And then this one is one of my favorite. It's called Who You Are in Christ. This changes everything. Wow. So give that to somebody. If you want that one on Who You Are in Christ, changes everything. This is called Words That Move Mountains. I just never get tired of that, talking about the power of your words. And I see people waving on the back row back there. Man, if you ought to set up closer, no telling what you get. Anyway, so this is the bloodline of a champion, and every chapter is on faith in the blood, how to apply the blood. I call it slinging blood everywhere. Praise the Lord. This is called Faith Opens the Door to the Supernatural, Believing and Speaking, and that's a good book. Then you got to get this book, and if you can't afford to get it, I'll give you a free one. And this is called The Bloodline of a Champion. Every chapter is on faith in the blood, how to apply the blood, living by faith in the blood. So get that book. And this is Trina's book called God's Healing Word. Phenomenal book. It's got script me in the back reading. It doesn't actually have me in the back, but it has a CD. I was like, whoa, he come out of there. So it has a CD in the back of me reading the healing scriptures in 121 different translations. And the only reason I did that is because my wife demanded it. And while I was reading them, I was about to float up to the ceiling. I mean, just going over the healing scriptures. So it's called God's Healing Word. Instead of asking the Lord to heal you, learn how to take the word like medicine, right? And Trina was healed 25 years ago of what the doctor said was a brain tumor that was inoperable, nothing they could do. And they said she'll be paralyzed for the rest of her life. But in the name of Jesus and by the word of God, what the doctors, thank God for great doctors, amen, thank God for doctors, but what they couldn't do, the great physician did, and he did it through his word. So we get that book, and I think you can get the CD on that. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. I think my wonderful wife's going to come up here and sing, and whatever she wants to sing. And she changes her mind, like she may change it again on the way up here, but on what to sing. But then we want you to be here tonight. What time tonight? 6:30 tonight. We're going to have some time studying the person and the work of the Holy Spirit tonight. So, wow, come if you can. Praise the Lord at 6:30 tonight. Come on up here, Trent. Okay. Make yourself at home. You want to come up on the top here?
All right, now I can see you.
Actually, we've been married 41 years, have 8 grandkids, and, you know, she don't really look like a grandma, but I definitely look like a grandpa. But it cost me a lot of money to keep her looking that way, so you're perfect.
I'll take more money, huh? It's great to be in church today. Isn't it great to be in church? I mean, you go outside and you just sweat. So it's good to be inside, having a good time with your friends and your family and the Holy Spirit with the Word, great music and worship. And didn't you like that message before the offering? Woo! Woo! Do you remember what your pastor said? You can't shut your mouth. You get lockjaw. The devil eats you up. Wow. You know, I told him, Mark's been preaching faith for all these years, and I've never heard him preach that. You need to add that one. Praise God. Well, we're going to have a good time today. It's good to be back here. Good to be with you guys and see the growth in this church and the amazing things God's doing here. You know, faith goes from generation to generation. Amen. And all through the scriptures, you can see that the most important thing that God had in mind was that the faith, like Abraham, passed his faith to Isaac and then to Jacob, to their children and to their children's children. And his faithfulness goes to 1,000 generations. I'm so glad. So I'm going to sing a song called Give Me the Word, which is an old song, but that's okay, right? We like the old, we like the new. But while you were preaching, I said, oh, I'm going to sing Give Me the Word. Because, you know, if you've been on Facebook following us or whatever, we've got a testimony you've walked with us through. And it's our grandson, Dylan. We call him the champ. We call him a victor. Because just 3 weeks ago, a little over that, he went in the hospital. We thought he had mono. He had full-blown leukemia, stage 4. And our little boy, if we would have waited another day, I don't know if he could have made it. He couldn't breathe. You know, he had a mass in his lungs. Well, we just started attacking it on every side. Aren't you glad for the medical people? I am so thankful for doctors and nurses. Amen. You study and you do your work tirelessly, devotedly. I'm so grateful. I believe that Jesus works with medical people. Amen. And so you bless them. You pray for them because the mind of God is the healer. He said, I am the Lord that, I'm going to get emotional. He identified himself in Exodus. I am the Lord, your healer. He is not the Lord who hurts you or takes or steals. That's the enemy. But he is our healer. And he said in Psalms 107, verse 20, he said, I sent my word to heal you. And I'm so glad that you can open up your Bible. And when I was just a young girl, 16 years of age, I had asthma. I was, you know, hopeless. I didn't think I could ever get well. But somebody came teaching the message of faith and the authority of the believer. And at 16 years of age, doesn't matter how old you are, young or old, your spirit recognizes truth. And I got a grip on that I could take the word of God and take it like medicine. That means attend to it, look at it, pay attention, speak it regularly, just like medicine. And as I did, power came into me. Knowledge came into me. Freedom came into me. Boldness came into me. And instead of walking around with my mouth shut, I started opening my mouth, hallelujah, and taking my authority over that spirit of infirmity. Praise God. And I was healed from asthma. Praise God. So I believe the word is true. And the word has worked for our little Dylan. The authority of the believer has worked. Today, instead of being skin and bones and picture of death, he is thriving, eating, gaining. He's gained about 3 pounds. Hallelujah. Just in a few days. Now, that's good. Now, if I gain 3 pounds in 3 days, that's not good. But hallelujah. What I'm saying is, no matter what your situation is, I'm going to offer you hope in the Word of God. Amen. And you're going to hear the Word. It makes you free. And over every situation, every report from the doctor or whoever, just open your Bible. Get a report from Jesus. Amen. So get your Bible out or your device or whatever it is you look at. Amen. Let's just treasure this Bible that we have. Amen. And you can start the music. Thank you. Of time. Preach it strong, preach it clear, because everybody's got to hear. It will change our lives forever. Give me the word, just give me the word. Oh, make it plain and clear to me. Give me the word. It's a light that I might see. Give me the word, 'cause it's my total victory over every situation. Give me the word. When life is challenged and I stand in need, when my faith is tested, death may be drawing near. Give me the word. When I'm in confusion, just speak it true over every situation. Give me the word. Over every situation. Give me the word. Over every situation.
Something you're standing on.
You got that scripture. You got that promise from God. No, I fail you. But contains within it the ability to perform what he has spoken. It is alive. It is powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But come on. The mighty living word of God will stand forever over every situation. I've got a word over every situation. And let's just lift up your hands and lift up your Bible too. And let's just praise God. Come on. Because God has got a word for you today. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our voices and thank God. Hallelujah. No matter what your situation, no matter what the dark cloud may be, hallelujah, that's got to move out of the way. Because I hear the Holy Spirit say that the voice of God is coming out of your heart. The voice of God is coming out of your mouth. And the voice of the word of God will cause your mountains to crumble into the sea. So today is a day of victory. So come on, everyone, lift up your shout. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. The entrance of your word gives light, gives understanding into the simple. We receive your word with meekness, that we humble ourselves for fresh revelation, fresh application of your word. And we trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, to bring to our remembrance things that we may have forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, who's our helper and our teacher. And I thank you that your word works mightily and effectually in us who believe, that we mix faith with your word and we act on the word of God. We thank you that the blessing of the Lord is ours today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated if you want to. Praise the Lord. If you would, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And today we're going to teach some on this subject, on your confession of faith. And you cannot separate the subject of faith or living by faith from the subject of confession. They are connected together. And you could probably spend several months to cover this subject accurately and adequately. So we'll just kind of hit it fast. And I know you already know something about it. But, man, I'm still learning. I don't know about you. I'm still learning. Man, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, I don't know if they got it on the board here or not, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we're looking at the King James Version, and it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, he says, you see what Jesus has done for you, and now Jesus has passed through the heavens, seated at the right hand of God. And he says, and now our job is to hold fast to our profession. Now, when he uses the word profession here, the King James word profession, he used the English word profession. But really, it's the same identical word as the word confession. And the word confession means to say the same thing or to be in agreement with. To say the same thing or to be in agreement with. Here he says, let us hold fast our profession, same word as confession, or it means to say the same thing, or to be in agreement with God and be in agreement with His Word. And when He says to hold fast to it, means that it's probably going to be challenged. When He says hold fast to it, means that it's important to your faith and your victory to be constantly conscious of the importance of your confession. What is your confession? Matter of fact, when you understand faith, instead of asking people how they feel, you'll ask them, what is your confession? What's your confession today? And you understand the importance of your confession, to say the same thing or to agree with God. Well, when you use the word confession, immediately in most churches, people immediately think about the confession of sin, the confession of failure and your mistakes. That's what their mind immediately goes to. But really, there's so much more in the New Testament about the confession of your faith than about the confession of your failure. A lot of times we think we're being humble by confessing all of our failures, but if you want to overcome those things, you'll have to turn that thing to the confession of your faith. Matter of fact, even in the face of failure, you'll have to hold fast to your confession of faith. That means don't turn loose of it. Don't let it go. Don't forget about it. It's important to your victory and to your blessing. Your confession connects you to all that salvation has provided for you. So it says hold fast to it. That means you're going to have to hold on tight. Hold on tight. That means there may be a fight. Matter of fact, if you wanted to put 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 right up here, literally he says fight the good fight of faith. So he says, if you're going to live by faith, you can plan on having a fight. So if you don't like to fight, you probably want to enjoy living by faith. Amen. So there is a fight to faith, but he calls it a good fight, and he actually identifies the punch that's going to enable you to win the fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on the eternal life whereunto you're called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So he mentions your confession, same word, profession, twice. That means you're going to have to be a professional at faith. What does that mean? Well, that simply means if you're an amateur, come on, then you have to just do your sport on the weekend. But if you're a professional, come on, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. In other words, the just shall live by faith. In other words, become a professional on the subject of faith. And there will be some challenges in your life if you live long enough that will require everything you have learned about faith. Amen. And we've had a couple of them recently. So holding fast is the key to your victory. But you're not just holding on to your confession of faith. Dad Hagin used to tell the story about back in the, what would be, 40s or 50s or something, how that this company was launching a big hot air balloon, and they had it tied down to the ground, and how that different guys were holding on to that rope, you know, and the wind came up and broke those ropes loose. And some of those guys didn't turn loose of the rope, so that hot air balloon launched out, and several of the men were holding on to the rope. And it went way up high, and people began to gather, and some of the guys just hold on as tight as they could hold on. And then different ones would begin to turn loose. They couldn't hold on anymore, and they'd fall to their death. Another one would turn loose and fall to his death. But there's one guy that while everybody else had fallen, he's still up there holding on. Everybody's like, oh, when's he going to fall? Well, they finally rescued him, got him down. They said, well, how in the world were you able to hold on so long and everybody else turned loose? He said, well, my secret was when I got up there holding on that rope, he said, I just tied that rope around me. So I wasn't just holding on to the rope. Rope was holding on to me. So what you do with your confession of faith is you're holding on. But when you wrap yourself in the promises of God, then actually God's holding on to you while you're holding on to Him. So I like to say grace is God's grip on you. Faith is your grip on God. In other words, God's grip on you is greater than your grip on Him. So He says you hold on to your confession of faith, but while you're holding on to it, He'll hold on to you while you get a better grip. Amen. So I've got the little grandkids, so when we go to cross the street or something, I'll tell my little grandkids, 3, 4, 5 years old, I said, let's cross the street. I said, take my hand. So they hold my hand while we cross the street. Well, they don't know. They're holding on to me, but my grip on them, I'm holding on to them a lot stronger than they're holding on to me. So when you reach out and get a hold of who Christ is as your Lord, come on, he's got a hold of you. And if you feel like your grip is slipping, he'll hold on to you till you get a better grip. Now, so the importance of you holding fast to your confession of faith, and that connects you to your salvation, to your redemption. Matter of fact, while we're right here at Hebrews chapter 4, in case we don't get back, go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have an high priest, cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Look at that. He says Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our weaknesses. And it says he was literally tempted in all points, which means you cannot be tempted or have a feeling or have a struggle that Jesus has not already faced that temptation for you. So when you're feeling a certain way, how many of you had all different kinds of feelings in your life? When you're feeling a certain way, come on, Jesus says, "I know exactly how you're feeling." He overcame that feeling. Is that right? He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but he doesn't tell you to live by your feelings. He tells you to live by your faith. So I said to the Lord one time, I said, "Now what does that mean?" He said, "Well, your job, hold fast to your confession of faith. I know how you're feeling." You can never say nobody knows how I'm feeling, because there is somebody that knows how you're feeling. Jesus. Right? So when people ask you how you're feeling and you're going through a tough time with your feelings, here's what I say. I say, "You know, I'm feeling the same way Jesus was feeling when he overcame this feeling." All right, let's try this out over here. In other words, Jesus conquered those things in your behalf. And no matter how you're feeling, what struggle you're going through, what's your confession of faith? "Right now I'm feeling the same way Jesus was feeling when he overcame this feeling. And I know the same Jesus has a hold of me and is going to help me overcome in this situation." So my job is to hold fast to my confession of faith. All right, go to Romans chapter 10 real quickly here, and we'll see what the initial confession of faith is and the continual confession of your faith. Hold fast, don't turn loose of it. In other words, stick with it. Everybody say, stick with it. Now, my daddy used to say, your greatest ability is your stickability. Y'all know what that means? Your greatest ability, in other words, no matter what talents you have, your greatest ability is your persistence. So I wrote these quotes down from several different people here, and I'll read it to you real quickly here. Thomas Carlyle said, "Permanence and perseverance and persistence in spite of all obstacles, discouragements, and impossibilities. It is this that in all things distinguishes the strong soul from the weak." Persistence. B.F. Skinner said, "A failure is not always a mistake. It may simply be the best one can do under the circumstances. The real mistake is to stop trying." Winston Churchill said, "If you're going through hell, keep going. Don't stop." Vince Lombardi, you know, football coach, he said, "The real glory is being knocked to your knees and then coming back. That's real glory. That's the essence of it." In other words, get back up. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. Whatever you do, you got to keep moving forward." Our former president, Barack Obama, said this. I thought it was very good. "Making your mark on the world is hard. If it were easy, everybody would do it, but it's not. It takes patience. It takes commitment. It comes with plenty of failure along the way. The real test is not whether you avoid this failure, because you won't. It's whether you will let it harden or shame you into inaction, or whether you will learn from it, and whether you will choose to persevere." Maya Angelou said this, "You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeats so you can know who you are. And you can rise from it, and you will still come out of it." Now, this is my favorite one. Calvin Cooley said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. All right, let's try that one more time. Nothing in the world can take the place of what? Stick with it. Talent will not. Education will not. Genius will not. He said the most important thing is that you stick with it, your perseverance and your persistence. So when it comes to faith, come on, you may just need a little bit of faith, but you're going to need a truckload of persistence. Amen? And that's what's going to determine whether you succeed or whether you fail or whether you win or whether you lose. So he says, hold fast, don't turn loose of it, stick with it, your confession of faith. Now, look at Romans chapter 10. Let's read this real quickly here. And Romans chapter 10, and we should read verse 9 and 10 around there somewhere. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and here's what it said. It says that if thou shalt confess, everybody say confess. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do we call this? This is what we call the initial Christian confession. Actually, Christianity is called the Great Confession. Matter of fact, you could confess your sins all day long and still not get saved. The way you get saved is you're going to have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Actually, being a Christian, you can even confess you're a Christian and still not be a Christian. You don't become a Christian by confessing you're a Christian. You become a Christian by confessing Jesus is Lord. Come on, so when I'm talking to people, come on, sometimes even some politics, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's not how you get to be a Christian. You get to be a Christian by what? Confessing Jesus is Lord. So do you believe Jesus is Lord? Well, he said, if you believe that, then your confession of that actually produces that salvation, that Jesus is Lord. When you confess Jesus is Lord, I don't believe this was the Apostle Paul's altar call scripture. All right. I don't believe the Apostle Paul's writing Romans and going, all right, we need to put something in here for altar calls for Sunday morning. No, I believe what he's talking about is for you to follow Jesus, for you to be saved, then this is the connection between you and your salvation, your confession. What's the initial confession? Jesus is Lord. What's the continual confession? Jesus is Lord. In other words, your initial confession, right? How many of y'all, when you got married, you told, you know, your wife, I love you? How many of you, that's the last time you told her, you know, saying, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you go, let you know. So, in other words, faith and love both work by the confession of it. If you want your love to grow, then you have to continually confess to your husband or your wife, I love you. Y'all still? And your love will grow. And if you don't ever confess it to him, sometimes you'll start thinking, I don't know what in the world I was thinking. But anyway, your confession, I love you, actually will cause your love to grow. And faith works the same way. If you want to be strong in faith, you must make the continual confession that Jesus is Lord. What happens when you confess Jesus is Lord? He said that confession precedes salvation. In other words, you don't get saved first and then say, I'm saved. You confess Jesus is Lord. The confession precedes the salvation. Now, I'll come to that, back to that in just a second. In other words, the importance of your confession is that opens the door, builds the road to everything salvation has provided. Confession that Jesus is Lord. All right? Now, when you're confessing Jesus is Lord, go back to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, and I'll give you these other scriptures on confession real quickly here. What does it mean? It means to say the same thing. Say the same thing. Hold fast. Don't turn loose of it. Keep declaring. The same thing, and I'll give you several areas of the importance of your confession of faith. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Notice this. He says, now You're a partaker of the heavenly calling. He said, consider the apostle and high priest of our what? Profession. In other words, Jesus passed through the heavens right now. He's the apostle and high priest of our what? Our profession or our confession. Actually, Jesus said, when you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. So here's what's happening. In your confession, that confession brings you into the consciousness of all that Jesus has done for you and what he is doing for you. So your confession here activates something there. Matter of fact, it's like Jesus would even say something to you like, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? In other words, are you going to confess your weakness, your failure? Come on, your lack? Are you going to say, Jesus is Lord? That's my confession. He is Lord. He's victor. He is champion. His victory is my victory. And he says, and the moment you say that, it activates something in heaven. Now, notice the word consider. Now, when he says consider Jesus, that word consider is literally the word for study him or meditate on him. In other words, your confession is fueled by this consideration. It literally means to turn your eyes to Jesus, look to him, and agree with who he is and what he has done for you. So your confession comes out of this meditation on Jesus, your consideration. It means to turn your eyes towards him. Again, actually the book of Hebrews, the whole book is about this word, consider. It means consider who Jesus is. In relation to the angels, he's much greater than the angels. Consider him. Study him. It's literally the word for a telescope, giant, magnified thousands of times in this observatory where somebody would get in the observatory and look out at the universe and study it for 50 years to see different kinds of galaxies and different kinds of stars. But now, today, we have what's called the Hubble telescope, which was launched out into outer space, and the pictures that come back from the Hubble telescope are fascinating. It's amazing what you can see. And just the vastness of the universe and the stars and the galaxies, it is amazing. So what he's saying is when you turn your eyes to Jesus and study him, you're going to see some amazing things. Now, while you're considering him, he's the apostle and high priest of your what? Confession. In other words, what's your confession? What are you going to say when you say, Jesus is Lord? He's my redeemer. He's my righteousness. He's my savior. He's my healer. And the more I study him, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Praise the Lord. Amen. Study him. Turn your eyes to him. It's actually the same word consider is used in Romans chapter 4. Here's what it says about Abraham. It says that Abraham considered not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body, but he became strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, here's what it says. He considered not his own body. But I went to Bible college 4 years, so we studied this passage, and they said, actually, the Greek word says he considered his own body. He considered it. And then the proper translation should be, after he considered his own body, then he considered it not. But he turned his eyes to the promises of God and became strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what God has promised, he is able also to perform. In other words, once you consider your situation, then quit studying it. Instead of Googling everything that's wrong with you, start Googling Jesus. In other words, start studying Jesus. Find out who he is and what he's done for you. Now, connect your confession to this consideration. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Can you say hallelujah? Now, here's your confession. Say the same thing or to agree with him. So I wrote this down several years ago because it's one of the best descriptions of what happened when Christianity called the Great confession. I said Christianity's called the Great Confession. What is this great confession of the Christian? The Great Confession. So if you're a Christian, you're following Jesus, you have a great confession. Matter of fact, if you'll study the earth ministry of Jesus, Jesus was constantly confessing his identity and his destiny. Let's try that again. If you're going to follow Jesus and if you're going to be strong in faith, you must be constantly confessing what? Your identity and your destiny. All right, now, if you'll study the Apostle Paul, if you'll study Paul's letters, the Apostle Paul was constantly confessing. What was he saying? Things like what? I can do all things. That wasn't Steph Curry that said that. I said, the Apostle Paul said what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think of this great confession that came from a great consideration, that came from a great revelation and great meditation. In other words, his confession connected him to the reality of all that Jesus is and all that he's done. Think about Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite confessions of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Where did he get that from? Because we know he wasn't even in Jerusalem when Jesus died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, think of that amazing confession of faith coming from the Apostle Paul. Study the confessions of Jesus. That means you and I should have a list of confessions of faith that every day when we get up, we boldly confess, this is who I am, and this is what I have, and this is what I can do because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. All right, let me give you this confession. Are you ready? The great confession. Jesus is Lord. And sometimes we kind of say it, but I don't think we get the full significance because we hadn't studied it enough. So we just said, Jesus is Lord. Well, that's good. Amen. But you might be finding out more about that the next 3,000 years. So here's Jesus' Lord. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he stepped from the tomb as absolute master of death in all of its phases. All right, let's try this one more time. When Jesus was raised from the dead, what do you have to believe in your heart? God raised you from the dead. What's your confession? Jesus is Lord. How does that work? Look, somebody say, how did that work? For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, let's go on. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he stepped from the tomb as absolute master of death in all of its phases, of hell and all of its hosts, of Satan and all of his works, of sin and all of its consequences. He was the first of a redeemed, restored, victorious humanity that would follow. He is the firstborn from the dead, the first man to enter the death experience and master it. Jesus is Lord. What is your confession? In other words, when you're saying Jesus is Lord, you said there ain't nothing in life or in death that can whoop me. Jesus is my Lord. And the moment you make that confession, you're saying, Satan, your dominion over me has come to an end. You'll never dominate me again. Christ has redeemed me with his blood, and Jesus is Lord. He's Lord in every situation, in every circumstance. He's already been there. He's already whipped it. He is Lord. So the word Lord means not only that he's God, but that he actually achieved his lordship through conquest. When you say he is Lord, the overriding emphasis is that he is victor. As victor means that Jesus is the undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe. And he is a universal personality, and he cannot show up anywhere without being recognized. Even in India, when he shows up, they go, that's Jesus. Come on, you've heard of people, different religions, meditating or something, and Jesus showed up, and they went, that's Jesus right there. All right, we're going to go this one more time here. When you confess Jesus is Lord, what are you saying? Everything he did it for you, set to the credit of your account, just like you did it. It's your victory, it's your healing, it's your blessing, everything he did. When you confess Jesus is Lord, now what's Paul saying? Don't turn loose of that. Don't say that annually. Don't wait for the next altar call. Come on, every morning get up and say, Jesus is Lord. And the devil say, what's that going to do? You say, well, it must be doing something or you wouldn't be bothering me right now. Jesus is Lord. It brings me into the consciousness. Come on now. I said it brings me into the consciousness that his victory is my victory. So the moment you confess Jesus is Lord, what are you saying? You're saying, Satan, sin cannot dominate me. Old habits cannot dominate me. Come on, I didn't say you wouldn't be challenged. I just said, cannot dominate you. Depression cannot dominate you. Sin cannot dominate you. Sickness cannot dominate you. Poverty cannot dominate you. Depression cannot dominate you. No matter how you're feeling. He already felt the way you're feeling, and he overcame that feeling. So what's your confession? No, you'd rather tell somebody how you're feeling, wouldn't you? You say, no, let me tell you how I'm feeling. No, we want to know what's your confession. All right, let me finish reading this. When Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, on Easter we all sing, he's alive, and people show up you hadn't seen all year. So Jesus is alive. And so we believe he's alive. We're just not sure how alive he actually is, but we believe he's alive. He's alive, he's alive. But the significance of that, come on, when Jesus raised from the dead, here's the way the Lord said to me. He said, when Jesus raised from the dead, he said, he didn't say, well, I sure hope that helped you out a little bit, because it was literally hell for me. No. Come on, when Jesus raised from the dead, he didn't come up out of there limping and going, my. Come on, his hair's messed up, missing a few teeth. He got scratches all over his face. Come on, his robe is all torn. He's going, I'm going to try to go back to heaven now. No, when he was raised from the dead, he said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. There is nothing outside of his dominion and his authority. What's your confession? Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it with an attitude a little bit. Jesus, come on, that's a good attitude. Like, Jesus is Lord. Come on, get a wild-eyed look on you. Because you may go through hell, but don't stop. Because he already been there and came out of there. All right, let me finish reading this. This is like just the introduction here. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he stepped from the tomb as absolute master of death in all of its phases. Physical death, the second death. Come on. Any kind of death you can call out. Jesus whooped it. Jesus, absolute master of death in all of his phases, of hell and all of his hosts, of Satan and all of his works. Come on, the devil don't have no new tricks. Of sin and all of its consequences. Jesus, come on, the last Adam and the firstborn from the dead. He's not the first man raised from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first man to enter the death experience and master it. Yes. He's the firstborn from the dead, the first man to enter the death experience and master it. Jesus is Lord. Study that. Come on, get in your observatory every morning and look at the vast promises of the person and the work of Christ. Because your confession centers around four major things. Number one, it's what Jesus has done for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. What his blood has done for you. What happened on the cross? What happened when he was raised from the dead? That's just the first category of your confession. The second category of your confession is who you are now and what you have now because you're in Christ. Come on, you're a new creature in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Come on, you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You may say, well, that don't seem real to me. Your confession actually makes it a reality to you. I just don't feel forgiven. How many of you ever did something like, I know to buy my sin. The blood washed away my sin. but I'm going to be beat up for about 20 years over this. No, you have to get beat up for 20 years. Come on, there's not one thing in you the blood does not cleanse. Come on, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. It actually not only has opened heaven, but it reaches into your conscience and removes guilt and shame and sin consciousness. What's your confession? You say, well, I just don't feel like it. It don't matter how you feel, your confession is the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You said the feelings will have to show up later. I said the feelings will have to show up later. Yes. Praise the Lord. Number one, come on, the blood. What happened in the death and resurrection of Christ? Number two is your identification with Christ, who you are in Christ. There's at least 35 confessions of who you are in Christ. Listen, and if Jesus walked around telling people who he is, he's like, let me tell you who I am. It irritated a lot of people. I am the light of this world. Don't you love it when Jesus said things like, my Father is greater than all? That's a confession right there. You got to know who your daddy is. My Father. So if Jesus is constantly confessing where he came from, he's constantly confessing. Come on, how many of y'all know where you came from? You came from the cross. You came from the death of Christ. You came from the blood of Jesus. You came from the resurrection. That's what made you. Your mama didn't make you. Come on. Your problems didn't make you. Your circumstance didn't make you. The Razorbacks didn't make you. Jesus made you. You're the workmanship of God created. That's number two. Come on, you just look a lot better in Christ than you do outside of him. That's number two. All right, number three. Number three, I love this one here. It's what Jesus is doing for us now at the right hand of God. That's my confession. In other words, what's he doing now? He didn't just die and be raised from the dead. He's retired up there playing golf. What's he doing right now at the right hand of God? He literally is your advocate. And when you got an attorney like him working on your case, keep pleading your case. Hebrews 7:25, what's it say? Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. What's that mean? No matter what kind of situation you're facing, he's able to save you, deliver you, heal you to the uttermost completely. Why? He is right now making intercession. Come on. Say, Jesus is praying for me right now. What's another one? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What's your confession? I learned this from Dad Hagen, probably I was 17 years old, right after he got out of jail. But what's your confession? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. And I never lack for money. I said, I never lack for money. Ha, ha, ha. Praise the Lord. So you got a few confessions there. We don't even have time to go into that. Number three. Now what's number four? Here's number four. Number four is what God, by his word and through the personal work of the Holy Spirit, come on, living in you, what he's doing in you and what he can do through you. Imagine what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Well, they wanted to kill him just over that one sermon, but he got it out of Isaiah chapter 61. He just read Isaiah 61 and said, well, look at there. That's talking about me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What would happen if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 and go, well, look at there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, and I'll try to wrap this up here. Praise the Lord. We could be going a lot faster if you weren't listening so slow, but we're just sticking with it. Amen. Let us, verse 23, got it? I don't know if I put it up there. Let us what? Hold fast. Get a grip. I call it get a grip on your lip. Hold on tight. Hold fast to what? All your mistakes, all your failures? No, the profession of your faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Amen. You know, I love cowboys and all that stuff, so I go to rodeo every once in a while. And in Alexandria, they have a little rodeo every year. And they do the bull riding last, and I love the bull riding. So the last one I went recently, and I think I had like 20 guys riding the bulls. Now, they say, you know, if you ever feel like your life is going by too fast, just take up bull riding, and that'll be the longest 8 seconds in your life. You're like, oh, 1,001, 1,002. So the rodeo I went to is bulls, 20, cowboys, 0. What does that mean? I pulled through every one of them. And then the last one I went to, I think it was the bulls, 17, cowboys, 3. Finally got one that could ride a bull. But I like to watch their whole process. Don't you like to watch the process? Come on, if you get one on TV, you watch it. When they get in that, come on, they don't just jump in there, all right. No, baby, it's like they wrap their hand up in there. I like to watch it. Then they hit their hand, hold on. What does that mean? You fixed to go for a ride, boy. It ain't going to feel like no Lexus neither. You fixed to go for a ride. Now, I hate to tell you this, but the moment you made Jesus your Lord, you better wrap up because you fixed to go for a ride. And ain't going to be no 8-second ride neither. Come on, and you will have some times you're just shouting and jumping and running. You're going to have some other times you're like, wah! Hold fast. Don't turn loose of it. Then I raised in Texas, so I played football in high school, and our team went undefeated for 4 years. Guys went from a little town, 3,000 people, went and played in the NFL, so we had some tough guys. I was not running back or nothing. I was just a guard, so all I had to do is block. Boy, those guys, whew, running backs, bam, man, they are gone. You ain't seeing nothing but the bottom of their feet, their elbow, bam. All I got is hit my guy for about 2 seconds, and it's over. Boy, but Bach coach, he hated when people fumble. Man, if them run backs fumble, woo! But we undefeated for 4 years. But boy, if you fumble, you're on a bad list. And so if you fumble, they make that running back, our wide receiver, whatever it is, carry that ball to class all week long to the next football game. And your job is when he walks by, try to slap it out of his hand. Come on, then he's got to run through a line of players on both sides, and your job is to slap it out of his hand. Because it don't matter in a game how far you run and how fast you run and how far you go if you drop the ball. Ask Leon Lett from the Dallas Cowboys. Come on, carelessly. Come on, 3-yard line. He could have been famous, you know, defensive, you know, whatever your tackle is. Running there, got fixing to go in. Somebody slap it out of his hand. You know what that means? That means you just did nothing. You thought you did something, but you just did nothing. Let me explain what you just did. Nothing. Because the moment you fumble the ball, no matter how far you ran, you just did nothing. So, we little kids were playing in the backyard. And so my older brother, his guys always get on one side, put the younger brothers on the other side, and they just beat the dog out of you. But one time, boy, I was running, and I got behind the defensive back, you know. And I'm running, and I'm wide open. I took quarterback. Throw it. Throw. Threw me the ball. I caught the ball. I'm behind them, and I thought, but as soon as I caught the ball, I turned around. My parents had an air-conditioned window unit hanging out the back of that. True story, man. I'm happy. I caught that ball. Ooh, and I hit that window unit. Boom. Lights out. I remember to this day, my brothers and their friends gathering around me on the ground. And they looking down. Is he dead? And I looked up. You know what I said? I said, I still got the ball. Still got the ball. Come on. And you may have an experience in your life where you hit a unit or two. So we say, well, I'm just following Jesus. Oh, it's going to be all nice. Oh, it's going to be nice. All right. When you go through a rough time, you say, I'll tell you what I'm holding on. Hold on this right here. I don't have all the answers, but I got this one. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The moment you say that, you're saying, devil, you cannot win in this situation. Let's try this side over here. I said, the moment you say that, you're holding on. You're saying, devil, you cannot win in this situation. Because Jesus is my Lord. He is a Lord. And his blood has redeemed my life. So it may not look like victory right now, but this thing is turning around in victory because Jesus is Lord, and I'm not going to turn loose of this confession. That confession connects you to your salvation. So he says, hold on tight. Hold on tight. Now, I travel from the East Coast to the West Coast all my times. Just about up here, but it's getting real close. So, in case you were wondering. So, Trent and I first started traveling, so we traveled in a motorhome, 40-foot motorhome, with a diesel. Man, it's a nice motorhome. We'd preach, you know, on the East Coast, go all the West Coast. Our kids were little. So, got a motorhome. We had an Airstream trailer for a while, pulled it. So, you learn a lot about towing, right? So you towing. So I got the motorhome, finally got me a little car to go behind it. You know, you got to have that thing just all connected right, got the chains on there, and got that hitch going in there on the ball. Come on, everything matching up, got it down. And that hitch goes in the back of that motorhome or the back of your truck or whatever it is. And that trailer may weigh thousands and thousands of pounds. When you put that hitch in that receiver in the back of your truck or the back of that motorhome, it's got one little pin that connects it. Got that one little pin. Now, that little pin don't look very significant, but it's very important. You better make sure that little pin stays in there. And you wonder how a little pin can be so significant when really the pressure and the weight of that motorhome and that trailer is not on the pin. It's on the structure of the back of that truck, come on, that RV, come on, R on that car. And so the heavy part of it, come on, and it's just connected with a little pin. You say, now, why are you telling me I'm going to have to hold fast to my confession? How could that be that important? You're telling like my salvation, my victory, my healing, it's all in a little confession. No, not exactly. But let me show you this. The weight of your salvation and blessing and victory is not on the pin. But the pin connects you to your salvation and victory and blessing. Now, how do I know? Because one day I was driving my motorhome down the interstate. And I looked in the rearview mirror and I thought, that looks just like a truck I have. Fixing to pass me. You got a truck just like mine. Well, I think that is my truck. So you kind of like, this can't be good. So how am I going to stop this thing without tearing up everything? Well, thank God I had these little chains so it only swing out around me like it's going to pass me, and a little chain pull it right back behind me. I'm like, oh. So I slow down. Those chains held it in place until I could get the little pin back in. And sometimes you're going through life and you're like, ooh, something has come loose. And a lot of times where it comes loose is right underneath your nose. Coming at your own words. Because your confession can either give Satan dominion over you or make Jesus dominion over you. Come on, your confession can either say, come on, Jesus is Lord, or your confession can say, I'm a failure, come on, and the devil's bigger than Jesus, and circumstances are bigger than Jesus. But the moment you turn your confession back to Jesus is Lord, his blood has redeemed my life. Jesus is victor, he's champion, he's master, he's already conquered everything, and I'm holding fast to my confession. The great thing about the mercy and the grace of God is even if you turn loose, he'll hold on to you. You might swing out there a little way. He'll hold on to you till you can get a better grip. How many thank God he's been holding on to you? That doesn't mean you're just riding around with a chain. That would be what you call stupid. Come on, so don't just keep living your life like, I hope that chain's holding on to me. No. Come on, get back into your confession of faith. Hold fast to that confession. And with that confession of faith, come on. Everything may not change overnight, but you're serving notice on the devil that he cannot win, that Jesus is Lord. I'm redeemed by his blood. Christ has redeemed me. Come on, instead of confessing that you're a failure and you're a loser and you're, come on, if Jesus has washed you in his blood, he's forgiven you. People say, well, you need to forgive yourself. If he's forgiven you, then you need to forgive yourself. Or you need to receive that forgiveness and say with your mouth. Come on, here's your confession. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Smith Wigglesworth said, there's not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. What is your confession? What's your confession? The blood of Jesus cleanses me from what? All sin. Come on, let's say that. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin, from all unrighteousness. There is not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. Try that one. Try it on. Come on, try it on. There is not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. In other words, you have the word, you've got the promise, it is your confession that brings it into application. So your homework is, hallelujah, make you a list of the top four things your confession surrounds. And when you get up in the morning, say, I'm going to need to say a few things right now. What's going to happen if things don't change immediately? The devil's going to say, well, see there, that stuff don't work. You say, yeah, but I'm sticking with it. All right, let's try this out. I said, I'm sticking with it. I'm not quitting. Come on, I'm not giving up. If I hit the air conditioner, I'm just going to hold on to the ball. Praise the Lord. Come on. My confession is what creates the reality of it in your life. Face confession, create reality. Even in the face of seeming failure. All right, well, I'm going to try this out over here. I said, even in the face of it seems like failure, hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to your confession. Hold fast. Be conscious of the importance of it. Amen. Hold on tight because it's your confession that connects you to everything Jesus has done for you. Amen. Stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord. Did y'all learn anything today? You say, I knew that already. All right. Let's make a bold confession. Everybody say, I believe, and I speak, I hold fast to my confession of faith without wavering because God is faithful. Jesus is Lord. I boldly confess I am redeemed, washed in his blood. Right now, his precious blood cleanses me from all sin. From all unrighteousness, and I am redeemed, and I am washed, and I am saved, and I am delivered, and I am healed, and I am blessed. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. I boldly confess there's not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. There's not one thing in me the blood does not cleanse. It cleanses me from all sin, all shame, all guilt. I'm washed in the blood. I boldly confess Jesus is Lord. His victory is my victory. He is my healer. He is my righteousness. He is my redeemer. He is my shepherd. I rejoice. I boldly confess. I consider Jesus. I look to him, I look to his word, and I agree with him. I am who God says I am. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Everything is new. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have a constant confession of my identification of who I am and what I have. In Christ Jesus, by his stripes, I am healed. Healing is mine from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. There is strength and healing flowing in me right now. I receive it right now. I boldly confess I am strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me? This one thing I do, I forget the past. And I'm pressing. I'm persistent. I hold fast. I will not quit. I will not give up. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Come on, lift your hands and lift your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my Redeemer. Your precious blood cleanses me. Right now, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're a visitor here today, maybe first time you've been to this church, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible says today is the day of your salvation. That means not, don't wait another day. Declare that today. Today, things are changing. My life will be different. I'm changing the way I talk. I'm changing who I look to. I'm looking unto Jesus. And today, you want to make this bold confession that Satan's power over you is broken. Old habits cannot dominate you. Sin cannot dominate you. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And today, that confession connects you to salvation. Jesus is Lord. Not just today, but every day. Your bold confession. Jesus is Lord. If you've never done that, and today you just say, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to pray with you right now and lead you in that confession. You just lift your hand up right now and just say, pray with me right now, right now. Come on, right now, just hold your hand and say, I'll surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm not just trying to go to church, trying to be the Christian. I'm going to confess that Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. I see your hand. Anyone else, hold your hand up real high. You just say, pray for me and pray with me right now. Anyone else, just hold your hand up. You say, today is a day of change. Jesus is Lord. I'm tired of confessing everything about me and my past and all I've been through. I'm turning to Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. Is there anyone else? Just hold your hand up real high. Anyone else? I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else? Hold it up. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I see your hand. God bless you. Let's hold up. Come on, because heaven and earth. Come on, your confession here does something in heaven. Your confession here lets the devil know he cannot dominate you. Come on, if you want to be strong in faith, constantly confess, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Anyone else? I see your hand back there. I see your hand over here. All right. Anyone here, you say, well, I've been saved. Jesus is my Lord, but I have lost my confession and things come loose on me. But today, I'm turning that thing around with my confession of faith every day in my house, in my truck, in my car. Come on, you just hold your hand up. You say, it's turning around for me right now today. I see your hand. Come on, don't be silent about it. You have to say something about it. Come on, about your family, about your finances, about the blood. Come on, about your body, about your future. Amen. All right, I see your hands up. Hold your hands up right now. And everybody say, today, I boldly confess that Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. Jesus is victor. He is the master. He has conquered all. He is my Lord. I don't live by my feelings. I live by my confession that Jesus is Lord. In every situation, Jesus is Lord. By his precious blood, I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I am righteous. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from shame. By the blood of Jesus, I walk by faith and not by my feelings. The feelings will show up later. But I boldly confess, Jesus is Lord. Every day, he is my healer, my righteousness. And right now, what I'm saying here, I'm agreeing with Jesus right now in heaven. Jesus is Lord, and I let the devil know he cannot dominate me. Sin cannot dominate me. Old habits cannot dominate me. Jesus is Lord. I boldly confess Jesus is Lord in every situation. Mr. Devil, you cannot win. Your power is broken over my mind and over my life. Jesus is Lord. I will not be silent. I will not turn loose of it. I'm holding on tight. Jesus is Lord, my healer, my righteousness. Jesus is Lord. Come on, lift your hands up and thank God for it right now. Jesus is Lord. I said Jesus is Lord. Come on, he's Lord in Arkansas. He's Lord all over the United States, all over the world. He is Lord in every situation. Jesus is Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Well, that's the introduction. Praise the Lord. Will you take it up next time? All right. God bless you, Pastor. Come on up here. Praise the Lord.
Wow. Well, he's talking about Jesus. Anybody learn anything about Jesus and what he says about you and what you have to say about him? He talked about an advocate sitting at the right hand in heaven. But Jesus said, it's better that I go away from you. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, because I'm going to also send you an advocate. So you have an advocate there. We heard a whole lot about him this morning. It was wonderful. But we have an advocate here. And it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's our helper. He's going to remind us of what the Father says. He's going to show us things to come. He's going to, I'm telling you what, we need to know a little bit more, just like we found out about our advocate in heaven that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We need to know about the advocate that we have here that lives and dwells on the inside of you and I. And I'll tell you what, you need to get back here tonight at 6:30 and hear a little bit more, maybe something you'll hear just like this morning that you didn't hear before. I'll tell you what, that football analogy, I'm like, I'm carrying a football. You know what I mean? I still got it. Doesn't matter how far you go. Doesn't matter how fast you run. If you let go, you done nothing. Wow. So good. So good. Thank you, Brother Mark. And again, we'll see you tonight, 6:30. Grab your kids. Have a great Sunday. If you need prayer.